earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around how the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, there is no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I can live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together. Briefly, we're going to read a few verses here. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans. Ushers, why don't we pass these out as we are standing and turning in our Bibles to Romans. You have the right ones. We're going to pass out our Next Step card. If you've noticed, we have our new banners up for our next step, our next steps, and we're going to go over those today. So we want everybody to have one of these cards, okay? Just hand a few down and we'll get them out, okay? I want everybody to have one of those this morning. Do we have them out on the patio? Everybody on the patio, we have them? Yes or no? Yes, thank you. Good. By the way, I appreciate our church. We need that building like bad. Okay, we got it's crowded in here. Now, I don't mean this, you know, this is not normal for a church. People like to have a little bit of space. They don't want to sit on each other's laps, if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you for your patience. And I thank the people that sit on the patio. I mean, you don't even get you do get probably a better picture of me, which is nice. But man, you got to sit outside. It gets warm out there. And what was it like several months ago? Like the last 10 minutes of the message, it just poured, and probably made it hard to hear out there. But I thank you for being patient and sitting out there, because we don't have room in here, and so we want to just get in the new building so we can all sit together. We're looking at Romans chapter 8. Of course, we're in a series on Lift Him Up, and this does tie into lifting him up, because we want to lift up the Lord in our growth as an individual Christian. Romans chapter 8, we'll read verses 27 to 29. We'll pray, and we'll let you be seated, okay? You can hold on to that card. We'll go through that in a little bit here. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says this, And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning, these few minutes we have to go over this subject. And I pray that you'd give us clarity of thought, Lord. Help us to settle in, Lord, so we hear what you have for us today, and that we can learn and take the next step that you have for us in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I mentioned before, it's Next Step Sunday. So we're going to look this morning at Christian growth and its importance in our life. God desires all of us to grow once we have become Christians. God does not wish for us to stay in the same place. Here in Romans, in verse 29, he says that he predestined those of us who know Christ to be conformed to his image. The word predestined means to determine before time. If I'm taking a trip to Washington, I already know I have a journey to take. We go there every year. I have a journey to take. I have a predestined location I'm trying to get to. I know where I'm going, and that's my journey, and that's my goal. Our goal, we are predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, to grow in our Christianity, and as we do that, we are becoming more and more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. God's plan, will and plan has always been for us to be like Jesus Christ. To be conformed to his Son essentially means that. That only happens as we grow in our faith. The more we grow in his word, the more it becomes a part of our life, the more we make it a part of our life, the more we will become like our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God made flesh. So this morning, as we look at this, I want to do two brief things. First of all, I want to describe with you a little bit about the growth process from the Bible. What are some things about growth that the Bible teaches us? And then secondly, I want to talk about very specifically about our churches, our church, and some of the principles we have and steps we have to encourage you to grow in your faith. They're not perfect. They're just something we put together. They are biblical principles, and I think that they would help us as we go down this path. So first of all, I want to look at some scriptural principles of growth. Let me give you several. First of all, growth is a matter of maturity. Briefly, if you could, turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 5, if you could. We'll look at several verses this morning under each one, so if you could leave your Bibles open, most all of them are going to be in the New Testament there. Growth is a matter of maturity. We'll start Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and we'll read through to chapter 6 and verse 1. For when the time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5, verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He's saying, listen, you've been a Christian long enough that really you should have grown to the point where you're teaching. You're a teacher. But instead, you're still at the point where you need someone to teach you the baseline or bottom line principles of Christianity. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. He's chiding them and saying, listen, you need to get away from where you're at, and you need to mature. See, a Christian who grows in their faith is a Christian who is maturing, much as babies in the sense that they need milk. New Christians, when we're new Christians, we need you know, the baseline things. We don't understand a lot about the Bible. When I was a new Christian, I didn't even have a church upbringing. I probably went to church a handful of times in my life, and so I didn't even have that to fall back on. Everything was new to me, and so I was right at the bottom, and I needed to start there and learn the baseline things and move forward in the faith. And as we do that, it's like your children as they grow. They mature. The picture here is maturity. As we grow in our faith, we will grow in our maturity. By the way, that helps us in our relationships. Hopefully, as you grow as an adult into adults, you have better relationships with people than you do when you're children. By the way, children are sometimes the most brutal individuals to each other. I mean, they just do not know how to get along. Now, that's immaturity. But as they mature, their relationships get better. It helps us in hardships. When things don't go well, how can a Christian make it through those difficulties? Well, they make it through the difficulties because they've matured in their faith and they understand it. So first of all, we'll go through these briefly. Growth is a matter of maturity. Secondly, underneath spiritual principles, growth is a matter of addition. Addition. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, right past, you got Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. So it's a couple books to your right. 2nd Peter. Growth is a matter of addition. We'll start in verse 3 of 2nd Peter 1. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. God's power has given us everything we need for life on this earth, and godliness, our relationship with him. Verse 4, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here we go. And beside this, giving all diligence, what's the next word? Add. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's how we got saved. We add virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. We're still adding here. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. The key word is add. When we got saved, we put our faith in Christ, we became a brand new Christian. Now what happens as we go forward, we start adding things that we're learning from God's word to our faith. And he gives us a list of them here. We will not go through the list. We add virtue, then we add knowledge. And by the way, it's very interesting. It's very systematic. He doesn't say add to your faith virtue, knowledge, blah, 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 blah. He says add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge. It's kind of steps, okay? And so we're supposed to add. Let me ask you this. If you look back at the time since you became a Christian, you've become a Christian, can you look back and say there's been anything added to your life? Is there anything added to you that makes you different than you were? And I hope that the answer that you would say is yes, because that's what we do. I remember just so many things that started adding to my life after I went into church as a new Christian, right with God, and just I was learning things. It's like, man, that needs to become a part of my life. That needs to become a part of my life. That needs to become a part of my life. And I was adding these things to my life. And so if we're going to grow, we need to start adding. Whenever we quit adding, we quit growing. And whenever we quit growing, we start dying. You're never going to get to the point where you say, I've been saved now for 10 years. I've got everything there is to get. I have arrived. You may have arrived, but it's not the destination. I'll tell you how you can tell if you arrived. All right, ready? Does anybody ever look at you and mistake you for Jesus? Not because you're wearing sandals, okay? By the way, Jesus didn't wear a dress either. I don't know if you knew that. Okay, that's just some pictures. The pictures of Jesus make him look like a sissy. That was not Jesus. He was a real man in the flesh. But has anybody mistaken you for Jesus? Okay? Now, I'll tell you what. No one has mistaken me for Jesus. I got a ways to go. In fact, my wife sometimes says I resemble more the other guy. All right? I'm kidding about that. But we need to grow. And we add things to our life that make our faith better. And I hope that we're doing that. We have the foundation in place once we trust Jesus Christ. Now we need to build on to that foundation. Next, growth is a matter of progression. Progression. Look at 1 Peter. You're in 2 Peter, so go back up one book. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and this kind of goes with the first one we mentioned, but we'll throw it out here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." In other words, we're like when we're newborn babes, we desire milk, the things that we can just barely understand and we're trying to get a handle on. And as we start to grow theirs, we start to learn more. The Bible calls that the meat of the word. When we looked at Hebrews, that's what they called it. And he says, listen, you ought to be, in essence, what he's saying is you ought to quit drinking milk or formula, if we look at it from a baby standpoint, and we ought to be eating steak. Now, I don't know about you, if you put a glass of milk right here, and you put a piece of steak right here, I'm going to eat the steak. How many of you are with me? You don't need steak sauce for milk, all right? You don't. Steak is better. Now, you can't give steak to a baby. They can't handle it. They'll choke on it, okay? Now, they can take the milk because that's easier for their system to digest. But as we grow, we progress. Now, we don't just need the milk of the word. We can take the meat of the word. I wonder sometimes if all of us, and I throw myself in here, if we looked physically the age we are spiritually, what would we look like? Would we be walking around in diapers? By the way, aren't you glad when children get out of diapers and they can go use the potty all by themselves? You potty train. Why? That's a sign that they are maturing. They're old enough to take care of that. And then you don't have to feed them anymore. You just kind of get the plate close enough to them, and they go to town. Then you have to kind of, usually the little ones, you have to clean up because they get food everywhere. Now, if your 17-year-old is doing that, you have an issue there. But as we mature, we progress in our faith. We're making progress. It's a matter of direction. Let me ask you this. I don't care if you've been saved for a week, a month, a year, a decade. We'll stop there. What direction are you going in your Christian life? That's the key. Are you progressing forward, or have you kind of leveled off? See, that's the key. Where are we going? By the way, there could be a Christian in this room, and you've been saved for 10, 15 years, and there could be a Christian in this room that has been saved for 3 or 4 months, and if we looked at the maturity level, we would say, oh, that Christian that's been 15 years, they're more mature. Well, if the Christian who's been saved 15 years is going downward and they're not progressing in their faith, and the person who's been saved for 3 or 4 months is going forward, who's really on the right track? It's the one going forward. We want to constantly be progressing in our faith. There are always battles to fight. Now, for me, as I remember as a new Christian, a lot of the battles I had to fight were the outward ones. The stuff that I was allowing in my life, the things I was doing in my life, the stuff I was, just all that nonsense, all that. And as I started maturing in my faith right away, there was some things that had to go. And all that outward stuff in my life that was just wrong, it was hurting me, I started getting rid of all that. And that's kind of like cleaning up the outside. And man, I got the outside cleaned up, and you know, and that was going well. And God's like, you're not done. Now he started pointing to the inward things. By the way, the inward things sometimes are the hardest ones to chisel out, okay? God's like, hey, that outward stuff, by the way, that stuff was, to be honest with you, it was kind of easy. Now, I was so on fire for God, some of the friends I had and some of the things were going on, it was easy just saying, I ain't doing that anymore. And some of the things I was involved with, like, I just stopped cold turkey. I ain't doing all that, any of that anymore. I knew that was wrong. I knew it was evil. I knew it was hurtful, and so I stopped it. And I was like, man, we're going forward. And God's like, no, what about your attitude? I'm like, hey, ho, 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 attitude, calm down here. Okay, didn't you know I got rid of this? Like, no. What about your attitude? God started working on me. Okay, and as long as we're going forward, what direction are you going? And that's what we want to do. If we're growing, we're progressing. Next, growth is a matter of obedience. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at a couple verses there. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read 2 verses. It says, verse 17 of 2 Peter 3, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know all these things before, beware lest ye also, being led with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It says, don't go backwards. Don't mess up. But then he gives us a command. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know what he's saying here? He's saying it's not an option. Grow. You got to do it. Now, we don't like to hear this, but a lot of what's going on in the Christian life is a matter of obedience. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it's just a matter of being willing and having the right heart and doing it out of love. Well, just because you don't have the right heart, and by the way, I agree, it ought to come out of love or else it won't last. It ought to be because we're willing. But let me just tell you something. If that area of your life is waning, it doesn't mean it's okay to be disobedient. I want my children to do what I say because they love me and they honor me and whatever, and they live in my home. But if they're not feeling very loving at that moment, I don't care. Just do what I say. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want them to have the heart, and you work on that. I get that. But it's a matter of obedience. God is telling us we're supposed to grow. We need to grow in grace. It's something we need to work on. It needs to be a part of our life. And so let's all work on that. And then the last thing is this. Growth, and this kind of fits this, is a matter of choice. Matter of choice. One more set of verses. Thank you for being patient this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Back up to the left, several books. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is not our typical message this morning, but I appreciate you. We're going somewhere with the next steps, and we want to encourage you with it, so we do this once a year. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men?" Now, as we read some of these verses, you kind of understand, you hear the same type of words. You know, you're a babe, you're not mature, you're drinking milk, you're not eating meat, that type of thing. Okay? And so you kind of understand the growth process. But then he mentions here one of the reasons why these particular people were not growing. They were carnal. In other words, they were not spiritually minded. Their whole life was based on what they wanted to do. Carnal means fleshly. It's living by our feelings, what we think is right, what we want to do. And so they had made a choice not to be spiritual and grow spiritually, but they had a choice to live life and do things by their own choice, by their own, what they feel is right, apart from the Word of God. That is carnal. Doing what they felt would make them happy. What they wanted to do, not necessarily what God wanted them to do. And because of that, they weren't growing. The point is, they chose to be that way. The reason they weren't being spiritual is because they didn't choose to be spiritual. They chose to be carnal. You will not grow until you choose to grow. You will not be the Christian that God would desire you to be unless you have chosen to be the Christian that God wants you to be. I've said on many occasions, where am I as a Christian? Where am I on the maturity level? What kind of Christian am I? And I can tell every single one of you right here with one statement what kind of Christian you are. You ready? You're the kind of Christian you want to be. Where am I at in my spiritual level? I can answer that for everybody in here. We are at the spiritual level we have chosen to be at. Okay? There's no victim mentality. Look, where am I on the level? I'll tell you where I'm at in the level. It's where I have chosen to be, whether for good or bad. Well, how am I developing? Am I going forward? Am I going backward? How is that? If I'm going forward, it's because I'm choosing to go forward. If I'm going backward, it's because I have chosen to go backward. So it's a matter of choice. And I would hope, because you are saved and God has made you a part of his family and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you'll have a desire. You'll want to grow. And God wants us to grow. Now, so that's that. Let me give you number two. Let me give you the practical steps of growth that our church has done. This is not scientific, but we've just put this together. Our goal when you come to our church, hopefully, our goal for you, hopefully, is to find out where you are at spiritually with your help and to say, what's the next step? Where do you need to go? Because we all need to grow. Now, this is not complete scientific, but it'll help you go a long, long way if we'll follow some of this. Because we want you to grow in your faith. Like I say over and over, the Christian life is the best life you could ever live. But not if you don't live it 100% and you don't grow. That's why some people say, I hear you say that and I just don't believe it. Well, the reason you don't believe it is probably because you're probably not growing. Because when we're growing, we have that dynamic relationship with God. And all the things the Bible mentions, the fruit of the Spirit, the peace that passes understanding, the calm in storms, all that good stuff. But it comes as we grow in our faith and our relationship with our Lord. So let's go through this. You can look through this. I'll give you some points. What are these steps? I'm going to go through them briefly, and then we're going to do one more thing, and we'll let you go. We get our four steps from these key verses, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Someone asked Jesus, said, listen, what is a lawyer? He wasn't a lawyer as we think of a lawyer. They looked at the law of the Bible, and they didn't see the spiritual aspect of it. They said, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? So Jesus told them. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, he didn't stop there. They only asked for one. He said, what's the greatest command? And he told them, he said, but the second is so closely aligned to it, Jesus felt compelled to tell us what it was because the two go together. And he said, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In another place, he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything in the Bible, you could tie it into these two commands. Loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbor is ourself. And so that's where we get our steps from. We have basically eight steps. Two steps go together because I think they're tied very closely. And there's four levels. And so let me give them to you. Level one, if you look at the little dot, that's loving God. That's the most important, is the love aspect. Step one, if you'll see that there, it's salvation and baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 said, and they that gladly received his word, this was at Pentecost, they that gladly received his word, what happened? They preached the gospel at Pentecost, or how a person can know for sure when they die they go to heaven, and they heard that, and they received Christ, and then it says, they that gladly received his word, were receiving Christ, were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's the first step. The first step in the Christian life is becoming born. Okay? I have children, but I didn't have children forever. I didn't have a child until November of... I didn't have any, to be honest with you. My wife did all the work. I take the credit. She did the work. But our first one is November of 86. From that day, things changed. Now, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just me and my wife. It was me, my wife, and this little person, okay? She came into existence on her birthday. You know when you become in existence as a Christian? On your spiritual birthday, the day you receive Jesus Christ. There's a specific day. Well, you know, I was just born into a Christian family. I'm a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I'm an American, you know, and Christianity seems to be the American religion. It's getting less and less, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Any more than me hanging out in my garage makes me a car. I'm hanging in the garage. I must be a car. By the way, our garage is so small, you can't even get a car in there. We went on vacation. I had a PT Cruiser, and I parked it in my garage, and our garage is so small, I couldn't get out. I had to literally pop the back trunk and crawl out of the seats and go through the back to get out of the car. You couldn't open the doors. Okay? Now, my car was a car, but it was a car long before it ever came into the garage. But anyhow, the point is, there's a certain time that you become a Christian. There's a certain day and a time that you receive Jesus Christ. And after that time, he commands us, Jesus tells us, that we are supposed to be baptized. What is baptism? It's identifying with Jesus Christ. It's not part of becoming a Christian. But it's identifying with Jesus Christ and saying, I am a believer. I have trusted Christ. And it's picturing what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection for us. And so that's the starting point. Listen, everything else we're mentioning you could probably try to do, But it's worthless if you don't get the first step, if you don't know Jesus Christ. And I remember that day on Easter Sunday, 1978. I went to church, and someone had been witnessing to me. I already know I needed to receive Christ. And on that morning after church, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. So salvation, then baptism. That's under level one. That's the first step on there. There's a lot more we can say, but I don't want to take all the time. The second step is devotion. What is devotion? Devotion is being devoted to a relationship with God and spending daily, regular time with Him. Learning His Word and growing. Our verse for that is the verse we read earlier in Peter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. This happens intentionally. Doesn't happen on accident. By the way, everything else I'm going to talk about very, very briefly, the more spiritual aspects, all of that will be a result of our relationship with God. I can do those other things, but you know what the most important thing is? Spending time with God. You know what gives me the energy and the faith to do the other things that I do in my Christian life? The time I spend with God. Learning from His Word. Getting alone with Him. That's the most important thing. And so we encourage you to work on your devotion with God. What does that mean? For us, there's two practical ways. Spending time in the Bible on a daily basis. Time in prayer. We have a Bible reading schedule. Our whole church, we encourage you to follow. By the way, to read through the Bible in a year does not take a lot of time. Depending on how you read, that takes 10 or 15 minutes. To sit down and just slowly read that portion of Scripture. Let God speak to your heart. Okay? And we encourage you to do that. And then also, we encourage you to practice as you grow in your faith and your devotion, what we call for to flourish. That's coming to more of the services so you can hear the Word of God being taught. And as it goes along with that, what you're reading and what you're learning on your own. Okay? We mean for to flourish. We mean Sunday school class, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, and Thursday night service. But we want you to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ and spend time with Him. The church is not here to take your time away from God. The church is a supplement to your time with God. But we need to have that time with God, and that's vitally important. So that's level one. Level two is loving others, if you see the little button on there. That's the second part of the verse. We encourage you to learn how to love others through doing two things. First, our adult Bible classes. Those are our classes that meet before this service, about 9:30 and about 9:35. What's the big deal about that? All of us need good Christian friends. We need to encouragement. We need to encourage each other, and we need encouragement from each other. And the way we do that is primarily, and by the way, then it helps us, allows us to be encouragement to others, as I mentioned. That's part of loving others. We do that through our Bible classes. Listen, in this auditorium, you come into church here, your goal is just to get a decent seat, okay? Not have to get stuck outside. Which happens sometimes, or some like to sit out there. I like sitting out, but whatever. You're just trying to get in here, and it's kind of crowded, and you can talk to some people. But listen, when you go to a Bible class, you're there a little early. It's smaller groups. You get to learn some Christian friends and get to know some people. So we encourage everybody to be a part of the Bible class. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's the key right there. The teaching of the Word of God, which we get that in our Sunday school classes also, and in fellowship, being with God's people. Fellowship is stronger than friendship, okay? Fellowship is something, is a deeper friendship that's based on the spiritual foundation that we have. And it's deeper than a regular friendship. We can have friendships based on the teams we like or you know, interests that we have in our life, or we work at the same place, or we enjoy the same things. But fellowship is deeper because it's based on our relationship with God, and so it binds us together even closer. And so we encourage you. Our Bible classes, that's what they are. Some of you that you come to our church and maybe you don't attend one of the classes, you don't feel as close to people in this church because you come in, you're just here for one service, it's 1 hour, we're crowded in here, we dismiss, everybody goes home, you get to say hi to a few people, but you don't have that time where you can really meet a few people and develop some good godly friends and be an encouragement to each other. And so we encourage you to do that. That's where we do it, is in our Sunday school. The next step we call membership. Membership. We use the verses there in Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Also, if you go back to the verse in Acts, they that gladly received his word, they were saved, were baptized. And then the next thing is, and there were added unto them. Who? The people there that made up the church, the other local group of believers there, once they were saved, once they were baptized, they became part of that group, they became part of that church, and those that believers that were there. Every Christian needs to have a church they're a member of, every single one. You've got to put down some spiritual roots somewhere, okay? It's hard to encourage one another if we're constantly in and out, here or there. Sometimes we go, and sometimes we need to say, listen, if you like this church, you've been coming to this church, and it's like, man, I really like this church, and this is, I kind of consider this my church, then you need to join, okay? You say, I've been coming to this church, I really don't think this is the church for me. I'd love to keep you, to be honest with you. We want to keep everybody. We love everybody. You know, we think we're the greatest thing in the world. Every church believes that, okay? I'm not saying that in a prideful way. But you know, if you were like, I just, for your sake, even though I would love for you to stay here, you need to find a church where you could be a member, okay? And so I would hope that that our church is the church, and that's what membership is. Say, you know what? I'm going to make this my church. Look at level three. Level three, we go now from loving to serving. Now we serve God. That's a very exciting step. Now this is more of the action step. How do we start to serve God? Well, the first thing, the first step underneath that, which is step five, is discipleship. Therefore, discipleship. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Don't just be happy with where you're at. Go forward, and perfection is maturity. Start going to maturity and where God wants you to be. That takes another level of commitment. We call that discipleship. Being a disciple of Christ, being one that wants to learn of him. Now, again, you're doing that partially when you get hooked into the devotions part and you start learning of him. Now, for our here in the church, we have a program. We have what we call discipleship. On Thursday nights, if someone wants to go through discipleship, they'll come to our Thursday night service. During the teaching time, they go out with someone in their Sunday school class. We have a little discipleship book. It has the basic principles of a lot of this stuff here, and it has what our church does, some of the programs we do related to the scriptures, some of the beliefs of the scripture, and then we'll teach you through that why we do what we do and what God wants from us as a Christian in a smaller setting. There's questions and so forth, and I encourage you, if you've been coming, you're a member, that's the next step. Get through our discipleship class, and you can learn some things. You can ask questions. It's a little more interactive, and it'll be a help to you. And then the next one, and I know people don't like this, but I'm not going to hide it. It's in the Bible. Giving. Okay, giving. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there where will your heart be also. We are to be stewards of the money God has given us. And God has told us, specifically in the Bible, to give proportionately. Now, if you go to Malachi 3:10, talks about the tithe. Now, people say, well, you know, it's not about the tithe and all. It's just about my heart. And in my heart's, well, I know our heart should be in it. But if our heart's not in it, we're supposed to give. Now, he does say, by the way, your heart should be in it. Because if your heart's in it and you love the Lord and you love what he's doing and you want to be a part of what he's doing, you will give. We give proportionally. Of all the things that a Christian does, this seems to be the hardest. You know, money can be an idol in our society and in our lives, and I understand that. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Now, he applied it to one thing. The next verse says you cannot serve God and mammon, money. Money can become a god in our life. And there's a practical aspect. If this is our church, you know, if you came in here and the lights were off or, you know, everything was, hey, how come we don't have lights or we don't have bulletins or we don't have this, the PA's off and all that, this is what the money goes for. God tells us the tithe is to go to meet the needs of the church and to keep it going forward and to help us to be able to go out and do step 7 and 8, which is serving and reaching other people with the gospel. Amen. That's what it's for, okay? And I know we don't like that because it's hard. It's hard because money is in it's sometimes it's just a fear factor. You know, man, am I going to be able to pay my bills? God's not asking for 100%. Now, he wants us to steward 100%. I understand that. But it's a faith thing. And in Malachi, he tells us that if we give, it'll prove his reality in his life. I've always, and I don't know why, I didn't go to church growing up, and I don't, maybe it was because I heard it on television or something, you know. When I got right with God, I'm like, why tithe? Did they talk about it in church? Be honest with you, they didn't. But I just knew that a Christian tithes. And actually, as a teenager that probably should have been in high school, but I wasn't there because they didn't want me to be there anymore, I actually had a job and was making money. I wasn't your typical teenager, like, I'll tithe because I make, you know, $5 a week. I'll give God 50 cents. I mean, I had a real, honest-to-goodness job making money. And I just got in God. And you know what, by the way? I've never regretted it. God's always taken care of me, and I know it pleases him. And that's really the key. And so giving. Now the last step is this. Our last level is serving others. This is the action part. How do we do that? First, which is lesson step seven, is serving. Serving. Ephesians 2:10 is the verse we use for this. For we are his workmanship, which means new product, created in Christ Jesus. He tells us how we became this new product. We were created when we trusted Jesus Christ. And he tells us the purpose of it, unto good works. God wants us to do good works. Once we're a Christian, God wants us to serve him, to do things, to help others for his sake. We also sometimes in our church call that ministry. Ministry is using your spiritual gifts and talents that come from God to serve others through the church for the glory of God. And a church this size and all that goes on, the staff that works here, we can't do it all ourselves. And by the way, if we did, we'd be cheating you, because God tells us we're supposed to do good works. You bus workers, you go out and you run the buses and you drive the buses and you visit people and bring people to church that wouldn't have a ride if it wasn't for the buses. And those that help keep the buses running and those that teach the classes where the children come, the adults come, and those that clean up and those that work in the nursery. And I can go on and on and on and on. You're serving God. And Jesus tells us whenever we do something for somebody else in his name, it's like we're doing it for him. And so we want to serve him and find our way. If you've been here for a while and you're not involved with something, boy, you parking guards, thank you for helping us. That, by the way, that's a big deal. We can't park in front of our neighbor's house. By the way, we need to throw that announcement in there. We can't park in front of our neighbor's house. The city won't let us. And by the way, we want to be good neighbors. I don't get it. It's in my neighborhood where I live. People don't like it if one of our cars park in front of their house. So we try not to do that. Of course, they park in front of my house all the time. But you know what? I don't spit on their car. Okay, it's not a big deal. Right? But some people, it's like you park in front of their house, they'll come out, hey, that's my, like you have one car and you have 12 spots. You don't need that in front of your house, but it bothers them. And so you know what? We're trying to be good neighbors. And so parking attendants, pushing our people to visitors, parking in the parking lot. Amen? The rest of you, park at Blue Line. That's going to be the ninth step, by the way. We're going to make that step nine, park off site, okay? We just don't have enough parking for everybody, so pray for us. So that's serving others. And then the last thing is this, soul winning. What does that mean? Jesus said, come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, all of us are supposed to be a testimony of God, a witness for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to let people know the good news that happened to us. Man, if you trusted Christ and it changed your life and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, why wouldn't we want to share it with other people? Okay? Why wouldn't we be able to tell them, you know what? Jesus did something for me and he could do something for you too. And so that's something there.